gospel lesson today is from John 3, verses 1 to 17. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind, it blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, we testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for this place and time of worship. And we ask, Lord, that you would just be right here in our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Most of us today are a lot like Nicodemus, a lot like Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a guy who was very involved in his faith. He was a religious leader. He was well educated. He believed in God's law and tried to follow it. By most accounts, he had it all together when it came to faith, a lot like we feel. But one night after watching Jesus do things like turning water into wine, healing the sick, preaching about the kingdom, he started thinking to himself, "Is this all there is to my faith? Am I just going through some motions with God? What is this new thing that Jesus brings?" And he thought about all the ragtag followers of Jesus, all the sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors that he ate with, and he wondered, "What do they know that I'm missing?" So he went in the middle of the night, not to draw attention to himself, to talk to Jesus, and he acknowledges to Jesus, "You must be from God because of all these miracles that you've performed." And Jesus just cuts right to the chase. He starts telling Nicodemus he has to be born again, that there is a rebirth that is required, not just your physical birth. "Very truly," he says, "no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." That Greek word, anothen, means from above or again or anew. Now, most of us today have heard that phrase, born again, especially in Oklahoma, in the Bible Belt. We've heard it like this. "Are you born again?" And by that they mean, "Are you saved? Are you going to heaven after this life? Born again." Many of us hear that phrase and that language and we just like back up. We don't want pushy people coming, knocking on our door, trying to save us, getting us into heaven, giving us a tract. We're afraid of being told that if we say, "No, I'm not born again," that maybe we're not saved. Maybe some of us don't even want to be born again, but maybe we do, if we understand what Jesus is saying in these verses. He says, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus says, how does that happen? And Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. He says, you must be born from above. And Nicodemus still doesn't quite get it. He has come here to meet Jesus and learn more about him. And instead, Jesus turns the tables and starts talking about his life. Isn't that typical Jesus? We go to our Bibles, we read to get knowledge about God, and suddenly God is just speaking to us. The words on the page just jump right out. Or we hear God's word, and we feel like God is just saying it specifically for us. That's what Jesus was doing for Nicodemus. And Jesus was saying that we all need this. We all need to be born again because we think we have life figured out. We think that everything is in our control. But the truth is we are broken. We're fallen. We're sinful. We need a Savior. I'm so reminded of this, like every single day of my life as a parent. Broken, fallen, sinner, big time. I can hardly contain my frustration sometimes. I do and say ridiculous things. Anybody got an amen for that? I'm reminded of this as a spouse. I fall so short of who I could be. I'm reminded of this as a pastor. My list of what I want to do in a day or a week is always longer than what I actually accomplish. What about you? When was the last time you realized, I am broken? I am not okay. We spend so much time trying to look good on the outside and have our lives under control, but in reality, our lives are often a big mess. This was one reason why I loved Bob Mooney so much, because that Long Island guy was real, and he was down to earth, and he just told it right like it is. He knew that life was a mess. He knew it probably more than 99% of us in this room, because he had seen more tragedy than one person should ever encounter. And he knew that life was broken. People are broken. And he would tell you that's why he needed his faith. He would tell you that he needed God, and he needed all of us crazies too. He was just real, down to earth. I love that. Nicodemus, he goes to learn about Jesus, and instead Jesus like holds up a mirror in front of him to see the need that he has for the kingdom of God. Jesus said it pretty clearly to Nicodemus. You must be born again, born from above, born of water and spirit. In other words, you have to be cleansed with God's grace. You have to be made new by the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to just be born into the world and then get some head knowledge about God. You have to be transformed from the inside out, born again. These were hard words for a pious man like Nicodemus, because he thought he had life and faith all figured out. But something in his heart knew that he needed to go talk to Jesus. What about us? Is there something in our hearts that just knows how much we need Jesus? I once read something by a great young author named Rachel Held Evans. She wrote this: in many churches, the holiest hour of the week occurs not in the sanctuary on Sunday morning, but in the basement on Tuesday night, when a mismatched group of CEOs and single moms, suburbanites and homeless veterans all share in the communion of strong coffee and dry pastry, and they engage in the sacred act of telling one another the truth. They admit their powerlessness and dependency. They conduct searching and fearless moral inventories of themselves. They confess. They ask for help. They summon the courage to expose the darkness in their lives to the light. And they say things like this: hi, my name is Jeremy, and I'm an alcoholic. When someone asked her why she is a Christian, that's what she said. She said, because Christianity names and addresses sin, and it tells the truth about the human condition, that we're not really okay. I like that. We're not okay, right? If we're honest, we're not. We may look like we're okay, we may hold it together really well, we may put on a happy face and go to work, go home, go to church, but in reality, we know inside that we are fallen, broken, sinful people in need of God's grace. We need to be born again. And that's what this whole Lenten season is about. Realizing that we need to be born again, that we need that power of Christ in our hearts, that we need that power of the Holy Spirit in us. And it is, in fact, a holy time when people just like us come together and we admit our sins, our weaknesses. It is a holy time when we come together to support and encourage one another in our brokenness. And I actually think that coming together and sharing our weaknesses brings us so much closer to one another than just sharing our intellectual knowledge. I mean, isn't that why Jenny's parenting class is meaningful? Because parents can just be real. They can admit their faults and find support in one another. I think it makes a difference when we admit to each other how flawed we are. I think it makes a difference when we let our guard down. But that's not always what happens in church. Many times we're like Nicodemus. We want to have all the answers, be in control, and therein lies the problem. Reverend Kenneth Carter said this. He said, "From my own experience, it is much easier for people languishing in prison or those who are addicted or those who are prodigals finding themselves waking up in a pig pen in a faraway country. It is easier for them to understand what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus than it is for those of us who have reduced life to what we can control. It's easier for them to believe in being born again from above than we who think we have it all together." For me, one of the most powerful things we do in worship each week is that prayer of confession. That moment when we admit to God that we are broken and sinful people, and then we take that silence right after that and just give ourselves to God. It's a reminder that church is a place where brokenness is accepted. And we're all here because we need God. If we don't know how much we need God, what are we doing here? If we don't acknowledge that we need God, we might as well just be a country club. In reality, we're the body of Christ. And our lives are a bunch of broken pieces that God puts together. Years ago, many of you might remember that we made a mosaic in the back of the sanctuary, that blue cross back there. And it was made out of little pieces of glass being glued onto that mirror. And we talked about God taking the broken pieces of our lives and making something beautiful. This year, we're doing a similar thing. With the prayer beads, we're taking little bits of wood and glass, stringing them together to remind us to pray for what? For our brokenness, for the people and the situations around us. This story of Nicodemus reminds me of the Apostle Paul. Remember him? The guy who was persecuting all of the Christians, and he was a big religious leader, but suddenly one day on the road to Damascus, he has this blinding light, and it's Jesus saying, "Stop it!" And he goes from persecuting Christians to being a preacher of the gospel. Can we admit to ourselves and to each other that we need that? That we're not perfect? That we need to be born again? Isn't it a relief, really, to think about just being real when you're coming to church? And isn't it fantastic that some of the most beautiful words in the whole Bible are found in this conversation with Nicodemus? Listen to it from the Message. "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. And by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. God came to help and make the world right again." That's the gospel. That's the good news. John 3:16 and 17 really sums it all up. God did not come to condemn us, but to save us, and we need it. Which brings us to the other part of this story. Do any of you remember when you were born? We don't. Did any of us have anything to do with that even happening? No. It was a gift. All we need to do before Jesus is receive that same kind of gift. Being born again does not mean we have a list of things we have to do or a list of things we have to say, some magical formulation in order to be born again. Being born again means we just do this. We just receive God's grace and new life. We aren't in control of that at all. Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound, you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. Being born again means we accept Christ's love. We receive the love from the Spirit of God. And when we do that, we are renewed, refreshed again and again. And the wind of God's Spirit blows into our hearts and lives. We may think we can do this faith thing all on our own. That's what Nicodemus was thinking. And we can fall into that trap of, if I'm just good enough, God will love me. But that's not the way it works. God already loves you. And God wants to transform you. Someone once asked a young Christian, what's the difference between my religion and yours? And she said, well, they're actually quite close. In fact, only two letters separate our beliefs. Your religion is spelled D-O, do. My religion is spelled D-O-N-E, done. The work of our salvation is done. Jesus died on the cross to save us from sin over 2,000 years ago. Our job today is to accept that and surrender our lives to that. Our job is to let go and let God work in us and on us. Our job is to allow Christ to change us and make us and mold us into the people that we were created to be. There's a great author, Max Lucado, and he wrote a book called Just Like Jesus. He writes great books. I highly recommend him. But the theme of this book is just very simple. God loves us just the way we are, and God loves us too much to let us stay just the way we are, because God wants us to be like Jesus. When we accept that gift, we are transformed and we are born again. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith.